time for the Susan Taylor Podcast, where we discuss the yoga of mind, medicine, and healing. Author of Feeling Good Matters, Sexual Radiance, and the Vital Energy Program, Dr. Taylor imparts authentic knowledge and practical tools that inspire, educate, and empower us to be a healing force for positive change. So join us and take your life and our planet to the next level.
Hello and welcome to episode 45, Natural Resilience, a look at ashwagandha. After researching resilience while creating the Resilience Project, I saw one area where we can do some more research, and that's in the area of diet and nutrition for resilience. Many are talking about the emotional and psychological aspect, of course, because resilience does start in the mind, but remember, the mind and body being one, we must address our body if we're going to really work with resilience. So today I'd like to talk about my favorite herb when we talk about resilience and tell you why it's such a good choice. And that herb of choice is ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an ancient medicinal herb. It's in the nightshade family, also known as Indian ginseng, and it's the king of Ayurveda, and it's also been called winter cherry in Ayurveda. And it's been classified as a rasayana, which means a rejuvenative herb. And in Ayurveda, that's being used as a general tonic for natural healing. And in modern terms, we call that an adaptogen. Let me define rejuvenation just briefly before continuing. And when we rejuvenate, we want to think about regenerating and restoring cellular components. So the actual mechanisms by which we absorb and utilize nutrients becomes regenerative. It regenerates and restores function. So it brings our tissue back to functioning, which means it does take some time. Keep that in mind when we use herbs. It does take time. Over a course of time, that's where we see the benefits. So it's not a quick fix, as if you were to take something from an allopathic model or a medicine or a drug that's given. Ashwagandha is a plant. It's a small shrub with yellow flowers, and it's native to India and North Africa. And the extracts of ashwagandha, or powder, from the roots and leaves are used for a variety of psychological and physiological disorders, including burns and wounds. And it's been used for over 3,000 years as an Ayurvedic, and it's, in its medical uses to relieve stress, increase energy levels, and also improve concentration. The roots of ashwagandha are actually constituent in many formulations in Ayurveda and other medicines. We also see that ashwagandha appears in the World Health Organization monographs on selected medicinal plants and the American Herbal Pharmacopoeia as a monograph also. So it's out there. It's not something that's really new, but I was just interested in some of the clinical benefits of it that I wanted to present today that were of interest to what we're talking about with the work that I do with working with the mind and body interface, as well as putting that into our new project that's coming, the Resilience Project. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So the clinical benefits, let's talk about them for a moment. Several human and animal studies have really talked about the signaling pathways via physiological as well as molecular targets for ashwagandha. And I'm not going to get into those because we're talking more of a biochemical molecular discussion, but I'd like to be general. And if you're more interested, you can go into the research and check on your own. But let me discuss some clinical highlights that were of interest and pertain again to our Resilience Project. We see in some of the literature that ashwagandha has been shown to boost endurance. Studies have shown that ashwagandha can also boost our ability to deal with stress, and that's what we mean by boosting endurance, during physical activity by sharpening our brain function and reducing bodily pain in general. Due to its positive, calming, and yet energizing effects on the brain, it has the ability to lower stress hormones, as I started off with saying we're talking about stress here. And ashwagandha showed to improve in concentration, motivation, and stamina in several conducted studies. In fact, in 2015, the International Journal of Ayurveda reported a study to evaluate the efficacy of ashwagandha extracts in enhancing cardiorespiratory endurance using 50 healthy adult athletes. And what they did was, during a 20-minute shuttle run test, the oxygen consumption of each participant in their peak physical exertion was measured. The participants were also given a questionnaire at the end about their physical health, psychological health, as well as social relationships, including environmental factors, to assess the changes or access those changes, you know, changes that were really made. They were able to assess their moods and what was really going on and their quality of life. So they were able to both access what was going on through the measurement and assess the changes through a questionnaire and what, you know, after having this ashwagandha treatment. Researchers found that ashwagandha extracts improved cardiorespiratory endurance at 8 and 12 weeks, at the 8-week mark, as well as the 12-week mark of treatment. And that significantly improved the quality of life scores that participants recorded and reported. So that's very interesting. My favorite, by the way, clinical benefit I'm saving for last, and I'll share that with you. But I want to just go over a couple more before we go to that. Ashwagandha has also been shown to improve cognitive function. And again, cognitive function is premier right now because we have so much going on with Alzheimer's and dementia really coming down the pipeline with how our aging population is experiencing aging, for that matter. So cognitive function is very, very important right now in this climate in our environment. Recent research has proven that ashwagandha is more than a stress reliever. Everyone talks about it as an adaptogen, but it also protects the brain from cell degeneration, which can lead to neurodegenerative diseases, as I mentioned, like Alzheimer's, as well as Parkinson's. With the Nolide D and withafarin A are two of the main withanolides that are found in ashwagandha, and they're used to improve cognitive function. Withanolides are naturally occurring steroids that are commonly present in the plants of the nightshade family. With these steroids, that's what makes the ashwagandha plant very, very useful in these research projects when we're talking about cognitive function. So when these steroids were injected into rodents to test their cognitive improving abilities, researchers found that they helped to promote cell outgrowth and reverse behavioral deficits and plaque buildup, and actually reduce amyloid beta burden, and that's known, the amyloid process with any kind of Alzheimer's conditions. And that's crucially involved in the development of Alzheimer's disease, and we all know that from the research that we read. And in 2017, a pilot study was published in the Journal of Dietary Supplements, and that found that ashwagandha effectively enhanced both immediate and general memory in people with mild cognitive impairment. That was pretty big, because the herb was also able to improve attention, information processing, on speed and mental skills. The study involved 50 adults, we're not using rodents anymore, and they received 300 milligrams of ashwagandha root extract or placebo for an 8-week period. And researchers concluded that ashwagandha treatment was able to boost memory and other cognitive skills. So that was a pretty interesting study also. Although it was just a pilot study, it did give some hope for the plant of ashwagandha. And ashwagandha also, another clinical pearl we have here, is better immune function. Because ashwagandha works as an adaptogen, it can actually reduce the body's stress hormones, and that can help boost our immune system. Because we all know that stress is, when we're under stress, our immune system gets compromised, which also helps, in essence, when we reduce our stress, we also reduce our inflammation within the body. Both animal and laboratory research shows that ashwagandha can enhance immune function by increasing what we call immunoglobulin production. And we're also able to promote anti-inflammatory environment by suppressing our pro-inflammatory cytokines. And we know from the work I did with the gut when I talked about, do we have the guts to be happy, that pro-inflammatory cytokine is one of the direct routes that goes up and communicates with our brain. And that's what connects, the cytokines connect our gut our gut-brain microbiome, and that's how that communication takes place. In addition, of course, to the vagus nerve, which everyone talks about, cytokines is another clear pathway by which that happens. By down-regulating the immune system when it's compromised, ashwagandha might be a useful tool in the treatment of various inflammatory disorders, but more research is needed. And my last clinical pearl, which was my big interest because it's such, it's happening so much, is thyroid function. Studies have shown, recent studies, that ashwagandha can actually improve a sluggish thyroid. And a sluggish thyroid is typically rooted in stress. And ashwagandha can be supportive, as I mentioned, if we're struggling with low thyroid symptoms. And there's many out there with low thyroid symptoms. As we said, stress is a major cause of thyroid dysfunction, and improving our resiliency, our ability to cope with stress, is a key component for maintaining healthy thyroid function. A lot of times we talk about thyroid function, but we're not linking it to stress. And that's what was very interesting to me, and how ashwagandha can really help. You know, we have too many stressors, whether they're physical, mental, or emotional. They comprise our resiliency and lead to a compromising our thyroid health. Uncontrolled stress can dampen the signal from the brain to the thyroid, which is very interesting, lowering our thyroid-stimulating hormone, the message that tells your thyroid to ramp up metabolism. Remember, thyroid is the metabolism gland. And what happens is, I'm finding a lot of women are having real issues with their thyroid, and there's many reasons for that. So if ashwagandha can be something that can be incorporated into an overall program, that would be very beneficial. Poor resiliency and high stress can also kick up the inflammation in the body, again, impairing the ability of the thyroid hormone to bind to its receptors. So you see, it's not just let's take ashwagandha and it's going to help the thyroid. We're talking through the downregulation, or the back end of it, or downstream, I should say, not downregulation. Really downstream, what's causing the thyroid to be the problem is where the ashwagandha can be very helpful. And that's mainly in stress, inflammation, and how the body is dealing with that. Because we're not really dealing with the thyroid directly. Again, we're dealing down the river. What's causing that from the beginning? So that's what really piqued my interest. And I'm going to start doing some research on that even deeper, so that when the Resilience Project gets rolled out, we'll have more on that. One of the most incredible aspects of this adaptogenic herb, like ashwagandha, there are many, but ashwagandha is the one I'm choosing for this podcast. In helping people with thyroid problems, that it's been shown, as I said, to support the sluggish thyroid, especially people diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, or what is called underactive thyroid. So for the millions of people who are struggling with thyroid problems, many, we don't even know it, ashwagandha may serve as a possible solution. There was a study in 2017 done in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, where ashwagandha benefited many people with subclinical hypothyroidism, and they were all evaluated. The 50 participants were diagnosed with thyroid disorder, but they didn't display obvious symptoms of thyroid deficiency. And during the 8-week period, the treatment group received 600 milligrams of ashwagandha root extract daily, and the control group actually received starch as their placebo. And the researchers found that ashwagandha improved serum thyroid stimulating hormone, that's called TSH, and thyroxine, which is T4. We know that T4 gets converted to T3. And these levels significantly were compared to placebo. And it was concluded that the ashwagandha may have been beneficial for normalizing these thyroid levels in the patients with hypothyroidism. And there was also a study published in the Journal of Ayurveda and Integrative Medicine that found that ashwagandha has thyroid-enhancing properties. In this study, patients with bipolar disorder used ashwagandha to improve cognitive function for an 8-week period. And the lab testing that they did, they found that some of these patients had experienced a T4 increase during the treatment period, although that was not the original purpose of the study. So research does suggest that since ashwagandha may increase thyroid function, that it may be suitable for people with hyperactive thyroid, such as those with Graves' disease. That's hyperactive. I spoke about Hashimoto's being hypoactive. If it's hyper, even Graves' disease. So it's an adaptogen. It may work in both cases. Ashwagandha supplements are widely available online and in health food stores, and the most popular form of ashwagandha is the root extract, but people do use leaf extracts, which are also available, and you can find the extracts in capsule and powder forms. And we could talk about when purchasing ashwagandha, as I always say, you have to make sure that you're with a reliable company, standardized, where it's grown, how it's harvested. All of that is very, very important. The withanolide content is also very important, and that should range from 1 to 10%. Keep in mind that we want to purchase high-quality supplements with Gold Star standards. That's the best way you can guarantee your product is high in the withanolides. The higher the withanolide content, the stronger the effect of the supplement. When supplementing with ashwagandha, I can't really recommend a dosage on a podcast. I don't want to do that. But I can report that some practitioners suggest starting with 300 to 500 milligrams a day. Keep in mind that not all sources, as I mentioned, are created equal. Where it's grown, how it's harvested, and how it's prepared to ingest are all determined by the medicinal quality of the herb. So keep that in mind. And that brings us to the end of this episode. And if you'd like to be notified weekly for new podcasts, please subscribe. The Susan Taylor Podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn, and also on a new YouTube channel. Also, you can go to susantaylor.org, where you can click and subscribe on the podcast. Contact susantaylor.org if you have any questions, comments, or feedback. And thank you again for listening. The Susan Taylor Podcast does come out every week. And any questions or comments or something you might want to hear, contact us at susantaylor.org. And I read those contacts that do come in, and I'd be glad to acknowledge it and put it in a podcast. Until next time, remain calm, consciously aware, living in the moment.